Well, as we were just discussing then, our Prime Minister continues to rebuff any criticism of Australia's treatment of asylum seekers. This follows his attack last month on the human rights president Gillian Triggs. Well, now the PM has turned his sights on the UN Special Rapporteur on Torture, who found in the last day or two Australia's immigration detention policies are in breach of our international conventions.
I really think Australians are sick of being lectured to by the United Nations, particularly given that we have stopped the boats. And by stopping the boats, we have ended the deaths at sea.
The Prime Minister not having a bar of UN criticism yesterday. Well, Paul Bongiorno is in our Parliament House studios. Paul, good morning.
Good morning, Fran Kelly.
The UN Special Rapporteur reported that the detention of children under Australian policies and the violence in the offshore processing centres in places like Manus Island puts Australia in multiple breaches of the Convention Against Torture and other cruel, inhuman or degrading treatment or punishment. The PM says Australians are sick of being lectured by the UN, and yet the Abbott government is still, as I understand it, lobbying for a seat on the Human Rights Council from 2017. Are these positions consistent?
No, they're very inconsistent, just as the answer we heard from Senator Fiona Nash is inconsistent too. We can't see the UN as a useful tool to combat human rights abuses, to combat drugs, and yet at the same time bag it and say we're sick of being lectured to. It seems that we like the UN to lecture everyone else except ourselves. The other point to make too is that there seems to be a flaw in logic in the Prime Minister's attack yesterday. So stopping the boats is one thing and it stops deaths, but does that mean that we therefore have a leave pass to abuse the human rights of the asylum seekers we send to Manus or to Nauru?
Well, Paul, the Prime Minister obviously, I mean, as we said last week, he was criticising Gillian Triggs the week before, rather, so he's not stepping back on this. I wonder how he thinks or how he understands this is being received in the broader electorate. That takes us to the polls. Since that leadership spill motion against Tony Abbott some weeks ago now, the polls have really come back into stark relief. There is another news poll out today. What does it tell us?
Well, the news poll today is a mighty correction, if you like, of the poll of the previous fortnight, which showed a trend back to the coalition, although news poll last time still had Labor in a strong position, 53-47. Today's news poll has Labor in an even stronger position, two-party preferred, 55-45, and leading the coalition on the primary vote. Now, while there has been some improvement in the Prime Minister's approval, he still has a net approval rate of minus 35. Only 28% of people think he's doing a good job, and he's 10 points behind Bill Shorten as preferred Prime Minister. Now, this is the pulse. Forget who's going to win the next election. This is the pulse of how Tony Abbott is doing as leader of the coalition, and on these figures, this is a very weak pulse.
Well, the backbenchers are watching the polls, that's for sure. We know that over recent weeks. With that in mind, some backbenchers, led by Andrew Lamming, are calling on the Prime Minister to drop that budget decision, the May budget decision, to change the indexation rates of pensions and to bring it back to the CPI. Firing this latest exocet, to use the word used by Andrew Lamming at the PM, they want him really to dump these changes. Andrew Lamming is backed by 2.3 million pensioners. In a moment, we'll be joined by Michael O'Neill from National Seniors. How big a problem is this issue for the Prime Minister? Because we're now getting some stats around this. Which, you know, look very, very bad for pensioners if you're looking 10 years out.
Well, the intergenerational report actually says tying the pension to cost of living rather than wages will over time erode the living standards of pensioners and the value of their pension. And by the way, this measure, according to the Parliamentary Budget Office, will save the budget over 10 years close to $20 billion. So it is a savings measure, and it's money coming out of the pocket of pensioners. This is electoral dynamite, and Andrew Lamming and the backbench know it. By the way, it's not a broken promise yet, Fran, because it's not due to come until 2017. The next election's due in 2016, so it does seem that maybe in a rush of blood early in the piece, the government thought that it could flag this move and take it to the next election. Well, Lamming and other backbenchers, and of course today's news poll, would tend to suggest this is almost political hari-kari.
Well, that's been the PM's defence of this, though, that he's not broken a promise because there is no change to the pension, certainly not before voters get to adjudicate on it at the next election. So it will go to the next election, or will it? Scott Morrison, the Minister for Social Services, is now suggesting it would be a measure with a finite time on it. Is this going to ameliorate the backlash, do you think?
Well, I don't think it will, but you have to ask the pensioners spokesman.
Well, we will.
When you get him. I think it won't. Look, pensioners and self-funded retirees, I know a few self-funded retirees, Fran, as a matter of fact, they look very carefully at their financial situation, and they've been voting a hell of a long time, and they know how to deal with politicians and their mealy-mouthed promises.
Okay.
And I think from that point of view, this is an Exocet missile, as Liberal backbencher Dr. Lamming says.
Okay, and just a couple of other quick ones. Today, it was also suggested the government will dump another unpopular budget measure from the May budget, the $900 million cut to the car industry. That's a cut to the automotive or not delivering the funds to the automotive transformation scheme.
Yes, well, Tony Abbott, as we know, is out listening and trying to reconnect with the electorate. He'll have to do a lot of reconnecting in Adelaide. The news poll shows that that basically South Australia is a Liberal killing field, and this is due completely to the whole issue of manufacturing in that state and the perception and indeed the reality, at least in the car industry area, that this government wasn't doing anything to save the jobs and to save industry in South Australia. It was a of course, compounded by the whole debate and argument over the submarines, which hasn't itself been completely resolved yet. So this gives the Prime Minister a bit of a feather to fly with when he lands in Adelaide today, and will try to, assure the voters there that his government, in fact, is trying to look after them. That's also going to be a very big ask.
And just finally, Paul, the government is also flying the superannuation feather from the Treasurer, suggesting that super might be a bit more flexible in the future. First home buyers might be able to dip into it, or others for ongoing education. The PM said yesterday it's a perfectly good and respectable idea, this notion of allowing first home buyers to access super for their home deposits. Paul Keating has written this morning saying that would destroy universal retirement savings at its core, and there's plenty who think like that too. But I think on the face of it, this is a popular measure, giving first home buyers in particular the chance to raid their super.
Well, there are attractions to it, and there are arguments either way. But I think, just in overall terms, one of the things about superannuation is the compounding element. The earlier you put money in your retirement account, the more it will earn for you. And Treasurer Joe Hockey on the weekend made it clear that he, in fact, taking evidence from the Intergenerational Report, is in fact looking for Australians down the track in the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years to actually have more money in their retirement accounts, so that as the population ages, it will be less of a drain on future budgets. The other point to make is that superannuation now gives Australian an enormous piggy bank, if you like, because the big super funds, and I think they've got something like $1 trillion at their disposal, invest back into Australia, a point that former Prime Minister Paul Keating today made in his opinion piece.
All right, Paul, thank you very much.
It's always a pleasure, Fran. Bye.
Paul Bongiorno is contributing editor for the 10 Network.